somebody. Last week, we began a little sermon series called He Will Finish What He Started, and I've got several pieces of this sermon that I've kind of pulled together. We're going to look back into Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 in just a few moments here. But then there's a couple of other things that I want to remind you of. And Paul says in 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, for this very purpose. And I shared with you that he, of course, Christ, you know, what he started, he will finish in you. And I shared with you the putting into your mindset that you and I are Christians and we are under construction. I also reminded you that when you begin this journey, you had no idea the twists, the turns. You had no idea the ups or the downs. You had no idea that you would take two steps forward, sometimes one step back in this walk with God. And I think what happens to us sometimes, we put into our mind that we have this preconceived idea of what we think God is supposed to be doing in our life or what we want. And it's a difficult place to come to in our lives when we as young Christians started out on this journey thinking that God was going to do these great things with us. And maybe you thought you was going to be the next Charles Swindoll or Jack Hayford. Maybe you thought you were going to be the next great missionary or whatever it is, or the next great Bible teacher or scholar or Sunday school teacher. And there's nothing wrong with those aspirations. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them. But what I have learned in life is that they don't always work out the way that we planned and thought. And it's hard for us to understand that God doesn't want things the way that we want them. It's hard for us to understand that God isn't going to work out what we want to make everything happen the way that we want them to happen. And I think in every Christian's life, we come to a point where we let go of whatever is the promise that God has given us, and we finally let it go, and we let Him have it back. Let Him do the reworking. Let Him do the reshuffling. Let Him do whatever it takes to bring us to the place where He wants us to go. So He's working on us and He's building us. And so along this journey, you are going to experience good things and bad things. You're going to experience up and down. You're going to experience many, many things. But in saying that, I was reminded up here on the platform of Isaiah chapter 55. And you can jot it down. You don't need to turn to it if you don't want to. But Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. And I just want you to hear this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." And it's hard for us to realize that the way that I think isn't the way that God thinks. The way that I want things to be isn't how God always wants them to be. That He's got a higher purpose. He's got an eternal point of view for our lives than what you and I have. Now notice it says in 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The idea of His ways being higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts, basically it means this: you and I are clueless to what God is up to. And in life, we don't always understand why things work out the way they work out, and why things happen the way they happen, and why God allows things to happen, and why God doesn't allow things to happen. And we can go through our lives questioning God, being baffled, not understanding, you know, why is this going on, and this is wrong, and that seems to be allowed to be happening, and why aren't you stopping this, and why? I mean, we've all done the mental gymnastics trying to figure out what God is up to and what's going on, you know, in our own lives. But the reality, when you look at God beginning a good work in us, is that you and I have to lay aside our way of thinking and our way of how we believe our lives are supposed to go and how they're supposed to be. And we need to back away from that and lay it aside. And just as Molly was singing today, I surrender all. It is not just a verse. It is not just a song. It is actually how you and I live as believers when we give everything to Him. And what do you do when you sing, I surrender all, and God takes you up on the offer? What do you do when God says, okay, that's what I've been waiting for. Now I'm going to take you somewhere. It's a very difficult thing for you and I to go through as human beings, and difficult sometimes as Christians. And we say that we surrender all. We tell God we will do whatever He wants us to do. We'll tell God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. But when it comes down to challenging you and saying, okay, let's go there, you say, you know what, I anything but that. Any place but there. Oh, no, not that. No, God, I didn't mean that. When I said I surrender all, you know, I've got, here, I'll surrender this, but I'm keeping this. God is no respecter of persons. And I'm going to tell you, He don't really care about your feelings. If He can accomplish in us what He plans to accomplish, it is going to come through seasons of struggle, and there'll be seasons of blessing. There will be battles, and there will be storms, and there will be times of bounty and plenty. It is all part of an aspect of the Christian walk that we live. And you and I need to stop trying to think we think like God. Because that's what He's saying. He says, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. And basically what He's saying, you stop thinking like you think like I do. Because you don't. Stop thinking that you got your plan figured out, Burles, and your life figured out, because you don't. You might have a few things along the way, but I've got the bigger picture. And you and I got to remember something. You and I are serving a God who has created everything, breathed life into mankind. When you gave your life to Him, He took control. And for some, it's been a great ride, and for others, not so much. But He's in charge. You gave Him control. You gave Him charge of your life. He has taken you down different paths that you would have never thought of, that you would have never dreamed of, that in a million years, if somebody would have asked you, do you think that you would be where you are today, you would say, absolutely not. Never planned on it. So we need to be able to allow God to have the control that we tell Him that He has, and let Him have that so that we can be obedient to Him and let Him take us where He plans on us going. So part of this journey here that you and I are on, He is doing this deep good work in us, and that good work is done through the divine power of the Holy Spirit, and it meant that He influences and works on our minds. Then I had shared with you that power operates within a person who is serving the Lord. Which brings us now to the last half of that verse, of verse 6. It says, and He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now there's a couple of things here, obviously, that you need to understand. It is this. The word complete means to bring to an end or to complete. See, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he says, there's something that you need to know. God started something in you, and I'm going to tell you up front that what He started, He's going to finish. You can kick, you can scream, you can bawl, you can shake your fist, you can tell God to stop it, you can tell God it hurts, you can do all of that stuff, and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to do you any good. God isn't trying to be mean to you. He's trying to mature you. He's trying to have us grow up in Christ. He is wanting a depth about you in your walk so that you can trust him no matter what happens. You can believe him no matter what is taking place. Whatever door opens or whatever doors close, you trust him no matter what. He is taking you and I into an area in our lives that no matter what we're going through, we trust him, period. And too many times as Christians, our faith and our trust and our love and our joy is all based on what we're going through in life. And what God is looking at us and saying, stop being so shallow. You need to love me whether you're going through something good or going through something difficult. You need to trust me whether it is something good or something difficult. You need to believe that I am with you and walking with you, whether you're going through something good or something difficult. See, and what happens with people, there's a measurement in us that you can tell how deep we are with God. Because if you're going through something easy, it's easy to come to church and say, well, I surrender all. Oh, yeah, Lord, whatever you want. I'm with you, Lord, whatever you want. I'll do anything. It's easy to do that when everything is going okay. But when you're going through the tough stuff, when you're going through the storm, when you're going through the valley, when the finances, when there's more month than money, do you still worship him? Do you still praise him? Do you still exalt him? Do you still tell him that you love him? Or does your heart and your attitude towards God changes because of the circumstances that you're in? Jesus says, I don't want you guys to be like a weed blowing in a wind, going around with every little doctrine and every fickle little thing and every new thing that comes around. He says, I want you to stand and I want you to be a rock and I want you to hold your ground and I want you to love God and serve God and worship God and walk with God no matter what you're going through. One of the things that makes getting older as a Christian a lot easier is that we've gone through enough stuff to know that he has never left us. Gone through enough stuff to know that no matter what I go through isn't the measurement on how much he loves me or how much he cares for me. I just know that he does. It's not the circumstances that I'm in. I've lived life long enough to know that when I'm going through something in my life, I just simply trust him, period. And we need to have a maturity about us as a group of believers, as a set of believers, that we get an attitude that says, I don't know what he's taken me through. I don't understand what he's taken me through. I don't even know why I'm going through this. But I know somewhere at the end of this thing, I'll have a victory. Somewhere at the end of this thing, Jesus is going to come and he's going to rescue me and he's going to deliver me. He's going to provide for me. I know that. I just know it. Job did that. Lost absolutely everything and then his health was gone. And in about Job around chapter 17 or 19, when his friends and comforters were just badgering him, and the bottom line is Job, you've gone through what you're going through because somewhere in your life there is some hidden sin. Job looked at them and says, I know one thing. I know that my Redeemer lives. And that was a man who had nothing left but his body filled with boils. He wants to take us there. He wants a depth and a maturity about us that we can walk that way. And understanding that his ways aren't our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. That his ways are higher. There's a greater purpose. God looks at your life and he looks at my life and he looks at it from an eternal perspective. I view life from the ground level. I look at what am I doing right now. I'm looking at what will be going on. Small group at our home at 4:00. Leave tomorrow for my flight. I look at everything from a temporary, day by day, hour by hour, week by week perspective, and God is in heaven looking at my life and says, whoa, I got it all planned. You're going to walk where I want you to walk. You're going to go where I want you to go. You're going to do what I want you to do. And I will guide it. And that's what he does for all, for you and me, for all of us. There is an eternal view that only God has for our lives. I was talking with Craig and Callie. I'm not going to tell a whole lot. They came in the other day, dropped by, sharing their testimony. Out of Craig's mouth goes, if you'd have told me 5 years ago that I'd be where I am today, I'd have said, you're nuts. And I'm just going to share a little, I'm not going to share a lot, but I just tell you, 5 years ago, they were going through some tough stuff. A variety of different things to some tough stuff. He's in my office now, 5 years later, smiling. Let me tell you what God's done. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how God restored things. Let me tell you how God has worked things out. If you'd have asked him 5 years ago, I know where he was 5 years ago. God, why are you doing what you're doing? Because we had that conversation. And now he's looking back going, I didn't get it then, but I got it now, and thank you, Lord. We don't always get it. So this is what he's saying. He says, I'm going to complete it. Now, the next part of this, the word complete means this. It means stages and or levels of eternal completion. You know, you just don't get saved at the altar and zoom, you're fully mature. It is a process and we go through stages. You know, you're going to go through seasons of growth and seasons of maturity and seasons of crushing and seasons of blessing and seasons of things coming together and things, no matter how hard you try and work, it's never going to come together. It's all in seasons. And in the midst of all of those things, God gives us opportunity to rest. Build ourselves up for the next season. So it comes in stages. And everybody's different. Now, you've heard me say this, I'll repeat it, okay? Just because somebody's been saved 30 years and someone else has been saved 5 years doesn't mean the 30-year-old is more mature than the 5-year-old. Why? Because we're all in stages. God takes you on the path of growth according to your personality. Some people can handle maybe a little more intense scrutiny and God working on them than maybe somebody else. But ultimately, the plan is for you and I to mature. And we walk this walk. Now notice, then he says this. This is going to continue until the day of the Lord. Now the day of the Lord means a couple of things. Number one, God is working on you until he comes back. If you and I are here and the trumpet sounds, and we're alive, and he gets us out of here, you know what? He was working on you. The other part is working on you until he's done with us and we go home. A couple of things here I want to point out to you. So what can you do in this process? Well, the first thing that you can do is this: commit yourself to yield to the work that is being done in you. One of the hardest things that you'll ever do. When God is doing something deep, it hurts. And when instead of saying, okay, God, you know, it's like getting a root canal. You want to just get it over with. You know, just, okay, get it over with. And it's the same way. I mean, how many times have we cried out to the Lord saying, God, how much am I supposed to take? Stop, stop, stop. And then God doesn't until he's ready to stop. But there's a goal at the end. But sometimes it's tough. Trying to yield yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, to what God is doing, sometimes is an extremely difficult process. The second thing is this: be patient with yourself. Remember, the changes that are doing in us, it's a painful process. It's a painful process. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. How's that done? He says, my flesh got crucified. Now, you all know what crucifixion is, and I tell you what, when you're on the cross spiritually and God is dealing with you, it's not fun. But Paul said, I have been crucified so many times and so completely that what was in me is now gone, and now and my flesh is now gone, and now I live for Christ. That's how powerful it was in Paul's life. The third thing to remember is this. Renovations begin with the removal of the old. I don't care what you do, but nothing gets new until the old is taken out. And he is working on us and removing the old life, the old way of thinking, the old way of acting. He is removing everything from us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The word transform them, there's Greek words, but the easiest Greek word is this, metamorphosis. There's a metamorphosis that takes place in us. We think different, we see different, we act different, we view things differently. The fourth thing that you can do is this. The depth of your walk with God is your responsibility. So many times people forget this. You know, and I've had people come in, hey, you know, well, Pastor, I'm not getting fed. I'm leaving the church. I'm going to go someplace else and get fed. Well, if you're getting fed once a week and this is all you're getting, then you're wrong. You need to speak to God. And I don't care. Listen, there's no rules on how many verses and chapters you need to read daily. That's not the point. Get yourself a devotion. Get yourself a daily bread. I think they're all gone now. Open up your Bible. Read four verses and pray. Give God 3 minutes on their time. That's all you have to do. Just a few minutes before you start your day. You've got to feed yourself. Another note that I put in here too. You can go as deep with God as you want to. I mean, he'll take you there if you're willing to give it up. I'm gonna quit. I got a couple of final little things to do that's here, is that all of this stuff that I shared with you, it is going to affect all the relationships in your life. See, what this digging in isn't just for you. It is going to be affecting the lives of people around you, where you go to church, where you work, your family. So this is going to affect all the relationships in your life. God is working on the church, and what I'll do when I get back next week Jerry's going to share, but when I get back from India, I'm going to talk to you about the purpose of the church. What good is the church, and how he's preparing really his bride for the groom, is really what it amounts to. And what the church's job is in making disciples and strengthening people and giving guidance. And the reason that I'm going to do that next week, and I'll close with this, there's not a person in this church anywhere, honestly, everybody's been hurt in church by somebody or something. You know, you don't get that close with people where somebody just doesn't just tick you off, let's be honest. Or you get hurt. Everybody's been there. You know, some of you guys have been at the end where you've been hurt by a pastor or board members or leaders or whatever. I've been at the other end where I've had people come against me and try to throw me under the bus. I mean, it's no one is exempt from getting hurt in church. We've all been there. And we've all been there where we've sat in a pew and said, I'll never go to church again. I'll never trust a pastor again. I'll never trust a church again. I'll never trust a board again. I mean, you can go through the litany. We've all been there, done that. In there. But the truth is, there is value in church. It is where you pray. It is where you grow. It is where you get spiritually fed. I mean, there is a great purpose for the church, and we need to look at that purpose when we get together, when I get back from India. So those are the things that I want you to see. So God, would you just turn to somebody next to you and says, God's going to finish what he started. Would you just do that? Amen. God's going to finish what he started. Amen, amen, amen. All right, I'm going to ask the board members and anybody else that would like to come up and pray for me. As I said, I read to you the letter from Ron concerning the dangers and